You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's called Kratom. You can buy it at gas stations, buy it online. No prescription needed in Michigan. And there are two widely different views of this plant. It's a mood enhancer, a pain reliever, perhaps a viable substitute to dangerous opioids, or it's dangerous, it's addictive, it needs to be regulated. So let's talk about this as we learn more about Kratom and whether it should be regulated in Michigan. Here with us is Dr. Edward Juni. He's with the University of Michigan Addiction Treatment Services. So good to have you with us, doctor.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So first of all, what is Kratom?
So Kratom is a plant. It is indigenous to Southeast Asia, and it's been used for a long time. The reason why it's gained so much attention is because some of the contents of this plant are pharmacologically active and produce a wide spectrum of psychotropic effects.
They act on the brain.
Yeah.
So what are some of the claims being made about Kratom from people who've used it, and what do they say it does for them?
So there's multiple claims, and these are predominantly on social media, YouTube. There's a lot of YouTubers, and there's other people that are pro-Kratom that are conveying multiple therapeutic benefits, including pain relief, including a mild stimulant type of effect, euphoria, antidepressant effects, also an anxiolytic effect, which means basically anti-anxiety. So there's a multitude of different therapeutic benefits that have been conveyed out there.
And there has been this narrative that it could be a viable substitute for opioids?
Correct. That's a claim that has also been perpetuated. Yep.
Do we know how it acts on the brain?
Well, we know that it stimulates the opioid receptors to at least a mild extent. It certainly doesn't have the potency that more stronger opiates would, you know, such as fentanyl, heroin, or morphine. But we do know that it does stimulate the mu opioid receptors.
So when you hear people saying that that Kratom does this array of things for them, do you feel these are valid claims?
I think some of them are valid, sure. I think there's no question that this plant does contain pharmacologically active compounds, and these drugs do possess psychotropic capabilities. And certainly the claims that are out there with respect to the subjective claims, meaning that the mild stimulant type of effect, possible analgesic or pain relief effects, I think there's probably some truth to that. But we need to be careful and make a distinction between subjective effects versus therapeutic efficacy, and then calling something a treatment. Because something produces a subjective effect doesn't necessarily translate into that this is an objective or an evidence-based treatment modality.
Because that takes scientific
study. Correct. So that takes research, that takes studies, that takes taking people, assessing them beforehand, assessing them afterwards, assessing their functionality beforehand, and making an assessment with an improvement in function afterwards. And with this compound, you know, with this plant, with the pharmaceuticals that are within this plant, unfortunately, we know very, very little about that. You know, what we do know is what is being subjectively claimed on social media and on YouTube and on the various websites that actually sell this. You know, they're setting forth claims out there. But I think what we're lacking is any objective scientific research that definitively states without any ambiguity that this is actually producing a therapeutic benefit.
And the FDA says avoid it totally. The DEA was talking about adding Kratom to its Schedule I controlled substance list. That was in 2016. And then it kind of backed away and said we need to do more research into that. But six states and Washington, D.C. have banned Kratom.
Yeah.
So what are the concerns?
Well, the concerns are is that, number one, is that this is something that has not been studied enough. Certainly, if you have something that hasn't been studied, that really doesn't make it ominous in itself. I think there's two things. The first thing I just mentioned, it hasn't been studied. But then the second thing is that some of the properties that this substance has, and namely, is that it stimulates the opioid receptor system. So this receptor system is very powerful, and compounds that traditionally stimulate this system are highly addictive in nature. And
that as we know from the opioid
correct,
epidemic.
And that would include traditional opioids such as morphine, hydrocodone, some of the synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. So what behaviors is this substance going to elicit? And I think in a vulnerable population, this can elicit compulsive utilization.
Addiction.
Correct. And I think that is the concern, is that this could be a potentially addictive substance, and that's something that I think healthcare providers should be potentially concerned with. And again, the other thing is that we're dealing with something that has not been studied, and at least to the best of my knowledge, is not regulated. So you have a plant that has, that possesses quite potent pharmacologically active substances, but where is it produced? What are the quality control measures? When it's being sold, you know, who are the vendors? Who are selling it? And do they have any standards? So it's not regulated as a drug. When something is identified by the Food and Drug Administration as a drug, that sets forth a whole set of regulatory procedures, quality control measures, and unfortunately, we don't have that with this. So when you're buying it, when you're going to a gas station or when you're going to wherever and you're buying this, what are you buying? What are the ingredients? What is the purity? And are there any oversights to ensure that what it says on the package is actually what you're actually ingesting? So there's all these concerns. And if they were selling orange juice, right, it wouldn't be that much of a concern. But again, you are selling something that has very potent pharmacologically active properties and also tickles the mu-opioid receptors.
And so we know the state of Michigan is considering regulating kratom and making companies test it for quality and impurity and also list it on a label. It sounds like from what you're saying, that you think would be a good step.
I think it would be a good step, but I think an even better step would be is that let's look at this. Let's see what it does. Let's see if there's any therapeutic benefit to it. And if there's any potential medicinal qualities to this, I think that has to be looked at. But right now, we just don't know. And the unknown can be potentially harmful. And so I think that we need to be cautious.
What do you want people listening to us talking about this to know about kratom, and particularly parents who may have kids going into a gas station and picking up these capsules?
I think that when you're hearing information being perpetuated, I think that they need to scrutinize the source. And that's really what I would tell them. So if you're hearing claims that this is an antidepressant or that it's, you know, alleviating pain, I think you need to scrutinize where that information is actually coming from. So that's one. And I think the second thing is that they need to be aware that, you know, this is something that has the potential to be quite powerful, you know, both in biological terms as well as in psychological terms. And you have a propensity towards potential addictive behavior, and that's something that needs to be considered as well. Now, certainly, the majority of the claims that are floating around there are that this is mild. You know, people say it's, you know, no different than drinking a cup of coffee. And for some people, it may certainly have that effect. But I think in a vulnerable population, I think that it has the potential to be harmful. Again, just because of the inherent nature of the drug's properties.
How worried are you that there it is sitting out on the counter at the gas station?
Well, I'm not worried about everybody. I'm worried about a small subset of people that have a vulnerability or a susceptibility towards what we call in the business a substance use disorder. There are some individuals that are predisposed to using potentially euphoric substances in a compulsive manner. And if they're exposing their central nervous system to a drug that stimulates the mu-opioid receptor, that could potentially precipitate addictive behaviors. Now, I'm not saying that the utilization of this is harmful to everybody that comes across it, because that's simply not the case. We're talking about a subgroup of individuals who have a vulnerability towards substance use disorders. And I think utilizing something that is not regulated, where there's very minimal quality control measures, and a substance that does have opioid-like properties, I think it's dangerous, and I think we need to be mindful of that.
Dr. Edward Juni with University of Michigan's Addiction Treatment Services, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.